Hello, Don.
You sound distant.
I am distant. I'm in Illinois. Where are you?
I'm out in Eagan, Illinois. Just shout louder. It's about 3 miles away.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, welcome to the program. I had you down for a little later this morning, but we'll let Randa Noble will be glad to sit and listen to you for a few moments here on WNTA. First of all, nothing to do with politics. Have you been following the wonderful world of the basketball world in the down to the Final Four?
Oh, yes. The Virginia Commonwealth pulled that incredible upset. And then Kentucky, of course, was on top, and they won by 2 points. So.
Well, you know, it makes us think, though, that no matter what, you swim upstream in life on many things, but never give up. Virginia Commonwealth, according to the Las Vegas oddmakers, Don, was 1,370-1 not to make it to the Final Four.
Well, you know, that's what they said about me when I ran for Congress.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking about. I don't think the odds were that big, but 1,370-1. Anyway,
you know,
Butler.
You always root for the
underdog.
For the underdog. Yeah. And then there's this fellow by the name of, Joe Rodriguez?
Yeah.
What is he about? I think he's, 5'5"?
Well, I think he's a little taller than that.
But he's just a little guy.
Definitely a small fellow, but the big on the floor. But I didn't want to dwell on that because we got so many other things to talk about. I guess the president's speech...
Because it goes to show how Americans, if you want to unite around basketball, that's okay. It shows a competitive spirit and yet fairness. And people rooting, I think it's great.
I do, too. Now, let's get down to cases. The president is going to speak to the nation tonight. I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed in his waffling on this issue of our defense and what he's done. I think confusion among him and his people of what he wants to do, maybe he'll straighten that out. For the sake of our country, I hope he can delineate what he wants when he's on television tonight, because I have never seen a president seem more confused and his cabinet members and others not speaking from the same point of view. I know we have to have different points of view in any administration, but this administration, to me, seems confused.
Well, I thought it was remarkable on Meet the Press yesterday and the ABC, I can't think of the name of it, but when Secretary of State Clinton and the Secretary of Defense just sat there, taking the same question on, is it in our national interest to go in and to be involved in a war in Libya? And Secretary Gates said no. He said, it's not in our national interest, he said, but we do have some reason for being there. But his answer was very crisp, and then Secretary Clinton took about 5 minutes to say, well, you know, she gave the old dominoes theory. And then I told my wife, I said, you know, this is remarkable. You have, besides the president, the two architects of this thing, disagreeing over whether or not it's in our national interest. What's bothersome, Doug, is we've been on our district work period now. We start voting again on tomorrow. It was a week ago, Thursday, when we were in session, and the president was talking to everybody except members of Congress. And what's particularly irksome is the fact that I got a hold of my chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee, because I'm a senior member of that committee, and I chair the Subcommittee on Asia and the Pacific. I got a hold of Congresswoman Ileana Ross-Lehtinen, who's the chairman, and I said, when did you find out about this? Because the War Powers Act specifically calls upon consultation with Congress. And she said, when I found out about it, as soon as the phone hung up, the air sirens were going off in Libya. And the president, you know, really had the obligation to come to Congress. He took the time to listen to the Arab League and also to the United Nations. And Secretary of State Clinton defended the actions of the United States based upon our participation in the UN, and just totally blew by Congress. I mean, that's just remarkable. The American people did not elect UN delegates. They elected members of Congress to have a role in overseas hostilities.
Yeah, I know we don't want to be called the policemen of the world, but technically we are the leader of the free world, and I think it's not up to us to follow. We must lead in this world, or we lose a lot of respect in that part of the world, which is a powder keg anyway. When I said confused, I meant the whole administration seems to be not on the same page. And I hope, for the sake of our country, even though I didn't vote for this guy, I hope for the sake of our country that tonight he delineates something that we can all grasp onto and be. I think you and I both, we're putting the United States first in this, and we want to be. Know a leader is in charge and is taking us down the right road. And I don't feel that with this president. I think he's very confused.
When this first happened, I gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Because it moved so quick, and I figured, well, maybe something's going on here where he had to blow by Congress, and he just something he had to do. But the definition of a no-fly zone, I mean, to me, that's not taking out columns on the road. That's not becoming involved in one side of a civil war, and that's certainly far removed from the president saying Gaddafi must go. And if Gaddafi does not go, what kind of message does that send?
Absolutely.
So that's not really humanitarian. The Secretary Clinton said, well, it stopped a lot of slaughter taking place, and yet the Ivory Coast, there are a million people that are in exile. The Congo has had 5 million kills, Sudan between 2 and 3 million. Why Libya? And then the next question she was asked, and I was even more taken back, is she went through the other Arab countries saying, well, we're going to pick and choose these on a one-by-one basis. That's whether or not we're going to get involved and defended Bashar al-Assad in Syria. And people know what's been going on there. The people have been killed in the streets. And she said, well, some people look upon him as a good dictator. Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. Don, we have to take a quick break. And I want to move a little bit to this Japan situation. Overnight, we heard about a 6.5 earthquake shaking that country with another tsunami alert, etc. And this nuclear plant, I know there's a knee-jerk reaction in this country not to drop all nuclear plants, but you're not too far from that Byron plant as you see those plumes of steam in the air. Are some people in our country thinking of turning back the clock and getting off nuclear power in this country?
Well, some people are thinking about doing that. That's understandable. I'm about a mile and a half or 2 miles from the nuclear tower. In fact, at the when I stand at my driveway, I can see both of those towers and the plumes of smoke. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has been undergoing a pretty thorough review of our nuclear facilities, and there's one plant in particular, can't think of the name of it, it's about 20 miles north of New York, that they're looking at very seriously, not that there's anything wrong with it, but because of its proximity to the city. And, unfortunately, all types of energy have their problems and difficulties, but you take a look at nuclear, if there is a problem, it obviously impacts more than any other type of energy. But that does not diminish, my support for all types of energy. Solar is the best, but that's only 0.5% of all the energy that we have. In fact, solar and wind don't even make up, less than 2% of all the present types of energy. But we just keep on working, Doug. I mean, Denmark is 50% solar. 50% wind because of the winds that are there. France is about 90% nuclear. And we just have to work on all types of energy. We have to go into the Bakken reserves that are in the Dakotas and Montana, and obviously drill in Anwar.
Now, I was referring to Japan in particular. And the aid to Japan from around the world is a wonderful thing to see. The United States always is at the vanguard of leading help to this part of the world. How important is Japan to the United States as a trading partner? And in this relief effort, what have we done so far that you can say is a tangible result of what the Congress has done?
Well, Doug, first of all, Japan is the world's third largest economy. It's the United States, China, and Japan. And when the world's third largest economy is having problems like this, it obviously impacts up and down the line. I'm surprised that the market didn't dip any more than it did after the initial earthquake and the tsunami. The United States has had a huge presence there for a long time. There are a lot of the helicopters have been available, ships have been available, and a lot of it has been at the behest of the Japanese as to exactly what they need. And the emphasis obviously has been put upon at this point trying to take care of the nuclear situation. Right after the earthquake, when we did not know the extent of the nuclear degeneration, you know, American choppers were there, and there was a full support team of whatever the Japanese wanted. Now they've been requesting barges of fresh water as opposed to seawater in order to try to douse that the different reactors. As soon as the earthquake hit, I called the Japanese ambassador to the United States, Ikiro Fujisaki, who's been out to Rockford a couple of times. He's been at Anderson Gardens and other places, and he said, Don, he said, you have no idea of the extent and the massive damage, and not only obviously to the lives of the people being taken, but to the infrastructure in Japan. So, you know, Americans have been there standing right next to the Japanese, along with, myriads of other countries that want to do whatever we can.
This country of Japan, I mean, through this whole thing, I think it has been amazing, their resilience, the way they've held together, the lack of stories of some countries have a situation like this, and you hear of looting, you got to be proud of the way they've handled this as a country.
Well, these are very stoic, very proud people, very generation-minded, because they have, you know, several generations still live in homes in Japan. They're also used to adversity. I mean, this isn't the first time that they've been hit with earthquakes and tsunamis. But even in spite of that, they just really set an example of people who are asking for help, of people who are doing everything they can, but very politely, very orderly, no riots. They realize they're all in this together.
Well, it's been a testament to the people and the leadership of that country. The nuclear confusion, though, that is one thing that's disturbing. These reports that come out about how serious it is, and one day they say it's millions of times worse than it was, then the next day they say, no, that was wrong.
Well, they said it was 10 million times opposed to 100,000 times.
Yeah.
I think 100,000 times is serious enough. But, you know, we know that there are a lot of men and women in Japan that are risking their lives trying to bring those nuclear reactors under control. Many of them won't make it.
Yeah. We've got just a very, very few minutes left. I guess what I want to ask you right now is the United States is looking forward to what the president says tonight. What do you hope that the president says tonight as a leader of our country get a clearer image of what he wants in Libya and in the Middle East?
Well, Doug, the I don't know if you read the Chicago Tribune editorial yesterday that sort of sums up where Americans are. The first question is why? Why? You know, why are we there?
Yeah.
I mean, that's valid. If you can answer why we're there, don't give me this humanitarian thing, because then you have to go through all the other countries where we should have gotten involved, if we're going to get involved at all, based upon humanitarian basis. But, you know, if why, and then why are we there, how long, what's the purpose of it, why did you rely upon the UN, the Arab League, and not a consulting Congress? You know, why did you wait 9 days before addressing the American people? Why didn't you return from South America immediately as you were leading America into war? And, you know, why are we involved in a civil war as opposed simply to trying to stabilize the country or do whatever is necessary for humanitarian reasons to stop what he'll say was an imminent slaughter people taking place. You know, everybody has the same questions, and it's the obligation of the president to answer those questions. But the questions should have been answered as soon as that first air raid siren went off in Tripoli, as opposed to waiting 9 days to check on the outcome.
You mentioned earlier the confusion. I said confusion. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, confusion is correct.
I think confusion is correct, too. But when I think of what Gates says and what Clinton says, it looks to me like there's a real disconnect there. Is Ms. Clinton on her way out? And well, I think she is on her way out. But is she going to maybe run against the president in 2012, or would that be
I don't know. I've talked to her on several occasions. You know, you try to read somebody to see if they really, really believe what they're saying. Her job, obviously, is to support the president. So is it of Secretary Gates? Gates is a lot more succinct and crisp when he gives his assessment, because Gates said we never should have gone in the first place.
Yeah.
Clinton, I think she's tired, and she's... I think she's done a halfway decent job. Doug, I don't agree with everything, you know, that she said, but I've had the opportunity enough to see her interact with a lot of people around the world, and I'm just surprised how somebody can come back from an exhausting trip overseas, show up before Congress with a few hours sleep and testify all day, and still maintain her crispness of her answers. And what I enjoy about watching people in public office, it's not so much whether you agree with them, it's whether or not they succinctly state their position, and then based upon it, you can say, oh, okay, well, I agree or disagree. That's where we are with the president now.
Yeah.
We just don't know, and he's taken so long. I really hope that he's going to be able to unite the nation tonight and come and say this is what's going on. It's going to be very difficult.
I appreciate your time this morning, Don. Stay well. Say hello to your dear bride and the kids, and we appreciate it, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Don Manzullo, our 16th Congressional District Representative in Congress at his home in Eagan this morning on WNTA with McDonald.